Let's open in our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. We'll begin reading in the first verse of Matthew chapter 2. And I'd ask if you're able to stand out of respect to the Word of God as we read a few verses here. Matthew chapter 2, verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. When you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Father, we thank you for relating to us this historical account that took place so many years ago. Help us to learn just a few simple things this morning for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. As I was reading over this familiar historical account, there was one phrase that really jumped to my attention this year. And we find it at the end of verse number 2. The wise men had come to Jerusalem looking for the king of the Jews. And here's what they said. We are come to worship him. I have never lived under a king. The only thing I can do is use my imagination and stories that I have read or seen depicted on television. People don't worship a king. People worship a god. And so that intrigued me. What were these three men saying when they said they were come to worship him? They weren't come to reverence him. They weren't come to submit to his kingdom or to serve in his kingdom, but they were come to worship him. And it's interesting that Herod didn't seem to bat an eyelash at it, because down in verse number 8, he says, come back to me again, and then the last phrase of that verse, that I may come and worship him also. Did Herod understand? What did Herod understand? I think he understood perhaps a little bit more than we understand that he did from the scriptures. But nevertheless, the wise men came to worship this baby king. They understood, because of the prophecies, exactly who this baby was. And he was truly the king of the Jews. I don't know how Herod understood that phrase, the king of the Jews, but he did understand that he would be the son of God, apparently. And so they go to Bethlehem, they worship, we understand what took place. But I'd like to consider worship. I've been saved now for over a long time, over 40 years. And the word worship has always intrigued me, because it means something different to almost everyone you ask. And I read definitions that are given to us in doctrinal or theological books. I have a whole book just on worship. In fact, I think I have two or three books, and that's all they're about, is worship. I started to read one, and it was obvious he didn't have a clue what worship was. Because I think when people define worship, and as I said, we all have different ideas. Most people get it wrong from what the scriptures say it is. And so I think this morning will help us, because we too should want to come and worship this baby that was born in Bethlehem. And so we can take our cue from these wise men who did come and they did worship. So what did they do by way of worship? And I just have four simple things that I take note of that they did. Now the first thing they did was they had scripture knowledge. Scripture knowledge. I believe this goes all the way back to when Daniel was in servitude to the kings of Babylon and Medo-Persia, and you had the wise men. And I believe Daniel, as the Bible says, was ahead of those, and I think he brought the Jewish scriptures, and these were men that were descendants of the disciples of Daniel. And Daniel, having provided the Old Testament scriptures for them, they knew that there would be a star out of Bethlehem. And so when this star appeared, they understood exactly what it was the messianic star. They knew that if they followed that star, beneath it, they would find the Messiah, the King of the Jews, the God of heaven, come to earth in physical form. They understood these things, that it would be the seed of the woman, that he would be a Jew of the tribe of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that he would be of the family of Judah and of the house of David. They understood all these things as they came. And that's why they came, and that's why they bowed, and that's why they said that we've come to worship him. Because they had scripture knowledge. You can't understand worship until you have scripture knowledge. It just amazes me how often the scriptures are ignored, even in Bible stories. The VeggieTales was a very popular series for Christian families. I only watched a couple of them because I couldn't stomach them. Because they were telling a Bible story, but they never read the Bible. They just made all this stuff up that had nothing to do with the Bible story that they were claiming to tell. When the grandkids were here, they watched another Bible story series. Truth Seekers, I think, was the name of it. And I watched part of one of them with them, and I just kept looking over to my daughter saying, that's not in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. They're just making this up. And just, I had to walk away. Because they lack scripture knowledge. If you're going to worship God, you have to have a knowledge of who God is and what he has done and what he will do and what has happened in the past, that we came by direct spoken creation from God. He just simply said, let there be, and there was. And you've got to know why we've been placed here on the planet to serve him. And we've got to know where we're going in the future, that there really is a place called heaven. The only place we're going to understand all of this is from the Word of God. And then we've got to understand that God created man perfect. There was no oops, there were no mistakes, there were no faults, but it was man who chose to disobey God, because God implanted within man that free will to choose. And when the devil played on that and accused God of holding out on them, yea, hath God said, they fell for it. And they chose to follow the devil instead of God in heaven. And plunged all of mankind and said, you see, you've got to have scripture knowledge. And then to understand that God, who is perfect in his holiness, who is seated in the heavenlies, receiving all the worship and adoration of all of the creation, left it behind and came to the earth as a baby. Not just to enter the creation, but to enter the creation and then die for their sins. You see, we need to know these things. Understand the severity of sin, that the wages of sin is death, and that there really is a hell. For all eternity, always suffering, no relief, no vacations, no coffee breaks, nothing but constant suffering. You need to understand these things accurately and truly worship. Because it's only then that we'll understand who God is, who we are, and what God has done for us. And when you understand that, there's only one logical response. Worship. It's that emotion or that response of the heart to those truths of who God is, who we are, and what God has done on our behalf. That's what worship is. It's more than just singing a song, everybody raising their hands and swaying to the music. That is not worship. That is self-indulgence. That is nothing but the flesh. And unfortunately, so many are so deceived today to think that that is worship. No, that is not worship. You see, they don't understand the scriptures. Something that goes along with scripture knowledge is faith. Because we read all these things in the Word of God, and then we have to make a decision. Did God really create the heavens and the earth in six literal days? Or did he use the process of evolution? Or did God not have anything to do with it at all? Was it just a matter of chance? You see, we've got to make that decision because these are the decisions placed before us in the world in which we live. As man tries to explain our existence outside of a God in heaven, by faith, we make our choice. Those who choose evolution do not do so by facts or by science. They do so by faith. Just as we choose to believe what the Word of God says, by faith. And so all the truths we read of in the Bible have to be received by faith. These wise men demonstrated faith as they saw an unusual star way over in the east from where they were living at the time. Or they were in the east, they looked to the west and they saw it. And they put two and two together with the scripture says, you know, that's a star. I'm willing to bet my life on it. And so they mounted up the camels, got their gifts gathered together, got their belongings, they took off and found out, sure enough, the Word of God is true. But it takes faith. You can't worship God without faith. The Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that without faith it is impossible to please Him. And so the first thing we learn of worship, the first thing it requires is scripture knowledge. The second thing we see that they demonstrated here was sacrifice. Sacrifice. Boy, isn't that a terrible word? People hate that word today. Now, we don't hate the word, but we hate what it involves. Now, why do I say that? Because very few Christians are willing to make even the least inconvenience, let alone sacrifice in their lives, to worship God. Think about what these men did. I wonder if they had families. Well, chances are they didn't. But what if they did? They probably at least had siblings. Mom and a dad, maybe. We don't know their age. We see their pictures all over the place, all three of them, right? We know there may have been three. There may have been four. Just as good a chance there were 8 or 12. We don't know. But someone along the group probably had family and moms and dads. And they had responsibilities at home. And they had somewhere that they lived. If you take a trip, we don't know exactly how far, just says they were in the east, but they're guessing 400 to 700 miles. That's a pretty good jaunt in a car today, isn't it? 400 miles. We'll just take the lower number of what they estimate. And so you pack and you prepare, get your snacks for along the road. Figure if you're driving 400 miles, at least at my age, you don't figure you're driving back that day. So you've got to take change of clothes. You got to pack it up, but you're going to be gone for a little while. Now remember, they're on camels. At least we assume they're on camels. It takes kind of a little bit longer than in a car going 70 miles an hour down the highway. Things are going to get dusty around the house. I don't know if they had dogs they had to take out. Surely they didn't have cats. We already discussed that earlier. But nevertheless, they left everything behind, didn't they? All the responsibilities, all their family, their houses. They didn't have any, maybe, I'm just guessing here. I'm reading between the lines on just about everything this morning. So just bear with me. But what if thieves broke in? They'd be hundreds of miles away and unable to get back. What if their house burnt? They left it all behind and took this trip. But you know, they didn't arrive first class, did they? I've never flown first class in an airplane. I've only flown an airplane a few times. I wonder how nice it is. I walk past those seats, you see nice big seats and lots of room. Looks pretty good. And I always wonder when they close the curtains so you can't see what they're doing up front. But anyway, these wise men didn't travel first class. And they went over dirty, dusty, barren roads. Dangerous roads. In Sunday school, in Sunday school I referenced the Wallaces and their missionaries in Mexico that send their Monday update by email every week. And they're in Mexico City. And they take their van and drive all the way up to Texas for doctor visits, for medicine, for supplies and things like that, and bring it back to Mexico City. Well, they drive the highways, and they're always talking about how dangerous those highways were. And I don't know if you remember, I told the story about the one time they had another missionary couple left before them. And the missionary couple that they knew that left before them were being chased down by bandits. And fortunately for that missionary couple, their car was able to go faster than the bandits' car, and they were able to get away. Now, the Wallaces didn't have that experience, but their friends did. You see, that's the type of roads that the wise men were on when they traveled to Jesus, full of bandits. And here, they've got valuable things in their pack, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We know those things. They were willing to make a sacrifice for worship. They realized, like David did, remember when the death angel was going over the nation, it came to Jerusalem, it was at the threshing floor, and God stopped the angel, and David went out, and he offered to buy the fellow's oxen and his field, or the threshing floor and everything, and the man said, no, you can just have it. And remember what David said? I can't give God something that didn't cost me something. You see, there's a principle here you find in the scriptures. Worship is going to cost us something. And we've got to be willing to sacrifice. Just like Isaiah when he said, here am I, send me. He didn't know what he was signing up for. And I said before, I think he kind of had second thoughts. But nevertheless, because he was worshiping God, it was the logical response to the vision that he had, understanding who God was, who he is. Woe am I, for I'm a man of unclean lips. He understood who he was. He just didn't necessarily understand what God had done for him yet. But the logical response was to fall down and worship and say, here am I, send me. When he understood God had need of someone to go for him. But today, sacrifice is never even thought of. Inconvenience is all we deal with, and we're not even willing to do that. And that's why so few worship. Like the wise men, they came to worship him. They had scripture knowledge based on faith. They were willing to sacrifice. The third thing that worship requires, as demonstrated by these three wise men, or four wise men, or however many there may have been, there was scripture knowledge, there was sacrifice, but there was also service. Service. When you follow the word worship through the Old Testament, you find out it has almost everything to do with doing something for God. What did these three do? Well, they provided for the flight of Jesus' family into Egypt when they gave him the gold. They provided for him to be able to worship God in a strange land when they gave him frankincense. That's really the only use of frankincense. It was used in worship. It was representative or symbolic of prayer. And then they did something that may seem unusual to us, but was customary or normal in their culture, is they provided for Jesus' death, the anointing, and that would have been the myrrh. They would have a bottle of ointment, and we read about that with the woman who washed Jesus' hair, washed him with her hair and anointed him with that oil of spikenard, and she broke the alabaster bottle. It was usually something expensive. And so that would be something they would have, and they would hold that until the day of their death, then it would be used. And they provided that for Jesus' death. And we understand the signification there, knowing that Jesus had come to die. But nevertheless, they were willing to serve, to give what they had in order that Jesus might accomplish his mission here on earth. Now, Jesus still has a mission here on earth, doesn't he? He came to seek and save that which was lost. He died and went to heaven, and he then gave us that responsibility. We call it the Great Commission, to preach the gospel to every creature. And the question then is, if we're going to worship, are we willing to serve? Service equals worship. And you cannot worship God without a servant's heart. You cannot worship God without understanding that God is going to ask us to do something. He's going to require us to do something, and we must be willing to respond. That's worship. It's not raising our hands and swaying to the music. As I said, that is self-indulgence. Service or worship is entirely different. And so, scripture, knowledge, sacrifice, service. And there's one last thing that worship requires, as demonstrated by these wise men who came to worship him. And that was submission. When they met with Herod, Herod then calls for the religious leaders. They tell him he's going to be born, the king of the Jews will be born in Bethlehem. And then in verse 70, talks to the wise men again. And found out the time of the star. We're familiar with this. And then that I already read, he says to them, when you found him, bring me word again. Now my opinion, and again I'm reading between the lines here, my opinion is they promised him, we will let you know. When we find him, we'll come back, we'll tell you right where to find him, because they didn't know Herod, apparently. And they thought he truly meant what he said. Now, getting back to these wise men, I have to believe they were men of character, men of integrity, men who took pride in their truthfulness and honesty and the fact that you could count on them. These would be men that would be used to dealing with kings and with rulers and would know that you don't cross them. And if he's going to ask us to come back, we're going to say, yes, sir, we will give you our word that we will come back. Well, what happened? Because we know they didn't. They went back another way. The Bible makes it clear. God warned them not to go back. They broke their word to Herod, but not to God. You see, they were submitted to God to do his will, to do what he asked, to do it the way he asked, when he asked. And so they obeyed God and they broke their promise to Herod. And in that I see, as a part of worship, that they were willing to obey God in heaven no matter what he asked them to do. Even if it was to the point of denying their own promise that they had made to another man. God was first in their lives. You see, that also is a logical response to when we consider to who God is, who we are, and what God has done on our behalf. God will claim our hearts. God will claim our allegiance. We'll realize that we are not our own, but we've been bought with a price, and then we'll glorify God in all that we do with our body and everything we have. We'll love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. That's a natural response, and that is worship. It's not this phony stuff they call worship today that is nothing more than self-indulgence. These wise men give us a great example and set a great precedence for you and for me today. You see, God is the same. He still desires the same that these men gave him nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, I guess it's been over 2,000 years now. The question is, are you come to worship him? And if you've come to worship him, are you worshiping him according to his word, according to the fallacies of our heart? How about you this morning? Will you be like these wise men and say, I am here, not just in church this morning, but I am here on this earth to worship him. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the truths that we find in it. Father, we know that sometimes the truths of your word defy common sense and our hearts' leanings. But Father, may we through faith always trust your word and follow it obediently, because we do know who you are, and we do know who we are, and we do know what you've done for us. Father, if there be even one here this morning that doesn't know you as their Savior, that aren't 100% sure that heaven is their home, Father, may they relay that message to us, that we might have the privilege to share the good news, that they might have the assurance of heaven when they leave this planet. And Father, help us all to truly worship you in spirit and in truth, in a way that glorifies you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.